the following is a home program on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 7, text number 2, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on November 19th, 2011, in Pune, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo Bhagavate
Jnanam teham savijnanam.
Jnanam teham savijnanam.
Idam vakshyam yasheshata.
Idam vakshyam yasheshata.
Yadgadva nehabuyonyaj.
Yadgadva nehabuyonyaj.
Gyatavyam avishishyate. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous. This being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know. Purport. Complete knowledge includes knowledge of the phenomenal world, the spirit behind it, and the source of both of them. This is transcendental knowledge. The Lord wants to explain the above-mentioned system of knowledge because Arjuna is Krishna's confidential devotee and friend. In the beginning of the fourth chapter, this explanation was given by the Lord, and it is again confirmed here. Complete knowledge can be achieved only by the devotee of the Lord and in disciplic succession, directly from the Lord. Therefore, one should be intelligent enough to know the source of all knowledge, who is the cause of all causes and the only object of meditation in all types of yoga practice. When the cause of all causes becomes known, then everything knowable becomes known and nothing remains unknown. The Vedas, Mundaka Upanishad 1.3, say, Kasmin u bhagavo vigyate sarvam idam vikyatam bhavati. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganidanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Shcha. So, in the Christian Bible, in the book of John, Lord Jesus says, I have more to reveal to you, but you're not ready to hear it. There is a similar statement in the Quranic literatures, that there is more to be revealed. Here in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, now I'm giving you everything. Beyond this, there is nothing more. So if we take the scriptures as they state themselves to be, the Bible says there's more beyond the Bible. The Islamic literature says there's more beyond this. The Gita says there's nothing beyond this. So we're not being biased here. We're just objectively studying the scriptures. So according to the scriptures themselves, the Vedic wisdom is the complete knowledge. The other scriptures are not. They're incomplete. Therefore, one who wants the complete understanding, the full scope of realization, should take to the Vedic pathway, Krishna consciousness. This is the conclusion. It's not our bias. It's objective truth. Because this is what the scriptures say. That's the first point. One could ask, how is it by knowing this revealed by Krishna that you know everything? We have so many departments of knowledge in the university. It's not that by becoming a master of mathematics that you become a master of physics or chemistry or computer engineering. Every department is unto itself. There's some overlap, but each department is separate. But here is a department of knowledge that when you have this knowledge, then you know everything. How is that possible? The reason is this. Krishna, or God, is the source of everything. Nothing exists save and except the fact that he's manifesting it. There's nothing separate from Krishna in all of existence. Krishna is the foundation of everything. He's the ground of all existence. So, once you understand Krishna, you can see everything in relationship with Krishna. And by doing so, because actually everything is in relationship with Krishna, by seeing it in that way, then you're seeing it properly. You can understand physics, chemistry, any subject matter, language, any subject matter. Once you see that everything is coming from Krishna as confirmed by the Lord himself in chapter 10 of the Bhagavad Gita, text number 8, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. Once you can see Krishna as the foundation of everything, then you have perfect knowledge of everything. You can analyze anything in relation to the reality that is Krishna's energy. The scientists don't understand that everything is Krishna's energy. Therefore, their science remains imperfect. They just speculate about this, speculate about that. Whoever's speculation is the most sophisticated is accepted as truth until someone else comes along with a more sophisticated speculation, and then that one is accepted as the truth. But it's all speculation. It's not reality. One who sees Krishna as the source of everything, he is the true scientist. And if we can learn from such a scientist, we will also become scientists. Krishna bhakti is not a sentimental religion. This is a science. It's like you could combine two parts hydrogen with one part of water, with one part of oxygen, I mean to say, H2O. And what do you get? Water. It's a scientific principle in chemistry. H2O equals water. So in this similar way, bhakti is a science. The test tube is your consciousness. If you will follow the laboratory manual, which is Bhagavad Gita, apply the scientific experiment of Bhagavad Gita on your consciousness, then you will see God. That's it. You will see God in due course. If you follow this. Just like H2O equals water, Bhagavad Gita plus consciousness equals seeing God. So how do you know it's true? You do it. You follow the instructions. How do you know that H2O equals water? You go to the laboratory and you do it. How do you know that Bhagavad Gita is a scientific process described here? How do you know it? You do it. And when you get the result and you see God, you know, yes, it is real. Even the neophyte, he begins to see God more and more in every way. You see, he learns to see God in the form of the deity. He experiences God in the form of the holy name. He becomes more and more conscious of Krishna in everything. In the taste of the water, the sound in the ether, the light of the sun and the moon. He becomes more and more conscious of Krishna. And in the mature stage, he can see Krishna. When he attains his svarup, he can see directly Krishna face to face. So this process is real. This process works. If you work this process will work for you. Those who say, I tried it and it didn't work, they didn't actually try it. They tried their own version of it by mental speculation. But if one actually follows the system given here in the Bhagavad Gita, he will see God in due course. That's a fact. So don't invent your own new version. It's like somebody wrote me a letter, they said, I'm with my e-course, I get bombarded with emails. Huge volume of emails I'm answering. Somebody wrote me the other day, they said, can't I just chant 16 rounds, follow the four principles, and follow the instructions in Prabhupada's books, and go back to Godhead without initiation? That was the question. And I said, no, because the books say you should get initiated. You say, well, I'm following the books. I don't need a guru because I just follow the books. Well, the books say you need to get initiated. Well, some say, well, you just get initiated by Prabhupada. Even though he's not here, somehow he's going to initiate you. But Prabhupada told us in 1977, October, just days before his departure, he wasn't going to initiate anybody else. So this idea they have, they can be initiated by Prabhupada. Somebody was told, all you have to do is go to Vrindavan and touch your beads to Prabhupada Samadhi, and that way you get initiated by Prabhupada. Some crazy advice, is it? They call it Ritvik philosophy, is it? You just take your beads and touch them to the Samadhi, and now you're initiated by Prabhupada. But Prabhupada said, no, he said, I will not initiate anyone more. This is it. He cut it off in October 18th, 1977. He told us in May of 1977 that after his departure, the new devotees who come would become the disciples of his disciples. So, if you want to follow Prabhupada's instructions, and you think that's all you need, you're right, but actually follow them. We accept the principle that all you have to do is follow Prabhupada's instructions. That's all you have to do, nothing else. But we agree. But now really do it. Is it? Now really follow Prabhupada's instructions. Chant 16 rounds, follow the four principles, and become a disciple of one of his disciples. Is it? In this way. And if you follow this system, you really do it with all sincerity, that day will come and you will see God. Prabhupada ordered me. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So this is the goal. Well, it's a symptom of the goal, actually. The real goal is to be fully surrendered, whether I can see Krishna or not. But Krishna rewards his devotee with his darshan when he becomes fully surrendered. He fully cleanses his heart, then he can see God. It's confirmed in Brahma Samhita. Premanjana chadita bhakti valochanena santaksa daiva hridayeshu valoka yanti yang shama shunya ramashitya gunasvarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham vajami. That will come naturally. A devotee makes no condition, though. Well, God, I will surrender if you reveal yourself. No. Even if a fully surrendered devotee, will go on serving Krishna for eternity, even if he never gets to see him. You see, he doesn't make any condition. What does Lord Chaitanya say? Even if you make me brokenhearted by not being present before me, still you're my worshipful Lord unconditionally. You see, that is bhakti. No conditions. If you let me realize my sarup in Vrindavan, then I'll be your devotee. No. Even if you want me to just stay in this world, birth after birth, to preach on your behalf, and you never reveal to me what my sarup is, still I'm your surrendered devotee. You see? There's no conditions that the devotee makes on his surrender to Krishna. The devotee feels, I don't deserve anything. And he goes on serving Krishna without asking anything in return. There's only one thing he wants. He wants to be able to love Krishna with all of his heart. That's all. So are there any questions? We have a few minutes left. Some, you can write them and pass them on a piece of paper. That's the best. If you have a question, write it down and hand it up. Yeah, here comes one. Okay. Hare Krishna. Please, can you describe your daily schedule for us to get inspiration? We would like to know about the ideal grihastha lifestyle. Well, I'm a vanaprastha, so it doesn't really. I'm not an ideal grihastha. I'm a vanaprastha. I'm a traveling preacher. I mean, I don't know if that's apply to you all. I mean, you know. Like today, get up at 2:30 in the morning, chanted japa, we went to Mangalarti, did deity worship, my writing, I met with various people today. Some devotees came who wanted to take shelter of me as their spiritual master. I gave pranam mantra today. Not every householder would do this as a normal thing. This is my third lecture today. But as far as the ideal life for a householder, I've done that also. I was working as a computer programmer. I was a brahmachari for 14 years, then became married, I was working full-time in the computer industry. So I've done it all. I've done all these things. The same training I had as a brahmachari, I kept that mood as a householder. I didn't become like a materialist when I remained brahmachari as a married man. Actually, we didn't want children, we wanted to preach. We fuck up brahmacharis, both of us. Strict brahmachari life. And so even when I was working, I would go to the, you know, I would do the, continue doing morning program and japa. For a householder should have some morning program. And the ideal thing, you see, is to chant 16 rounds before you leave your house. Not that you're, you know, unless it depends on your circumstance, but ideally You should chant 16 rounds before you leave your house, because you need to be Krishna conscious before you go out and face the material world. If you haven't chanted your rounds completely, you're not fully surcharged with bhakti, you go out there and deal with the material world, you're going to get splayed out, you know, between Krishna consciousness and the material world. But if you fully charge your batteries in the morning, 16 rounds, gravastakam prayers, a little arati, your home altar, nice prasad, maybe a few minutes of reading, maybe a tulsi, a little tulsi arati, you see, in this way, you'll be surcharged with bhakti. It's like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he went to work every day with the British government. But he said, I'm not working this, I'm not doing this work to maintain my household, my household. I'm doing it to maintain Krishna's household. So you have to make your home into an ashram. It has to be a place of spiritual cultivation, not a place of sense enjoyment. If your home is a place of sense enjoyment, you won't be able to be very Krishna conscious. That's the bottom line. You have to make your home an ashram, a place of spiritual cultivation for all the family members. And then when you go to work to maintain that ashram, you'll be inspired, because you know what the money is going for. And as much money as you can, you should give to the preachers and to the temple, besides what you need for your household. In this way, you can turn your karma into karma yoga by offering it to Krishna, which is bhakti also. So in this way, household life.
Household must follow the four regulative principles.
Yes. Now some people say, well, you know, you want to keep your marriage together. If your wife wants illicit sex, or your husband wants it, you have to give it to him to keep your marriage from breaking it. That's not what Prabhupada taught us. He said that you follow these principles. That will bring the devotees strictly follow the principles. That will bring them very tightly together, you see. If I'm dedicated to following the principles, and my wife is dedicated to following the principles, that means we're coming to the spiritual platform together as a team. We're helping each other to come to the spiritual platform together. But if we think, well, you know, we need to mix some sense gratification in here, what are you doing? You're actually separating yourself from each other, because true unity comes when you make God the center. Just like, I'll give you an example, even the material world. United States of America, they were separate colonies, but they decided to come together, and based on God, they said one nation under God, you see. And they became a very strong nation, the United States of America. Now the European Union, they also tried to come together, but it was completely secular, there was no God, and now they're on the verge of, there's talk of them disintegrating, and they can't maintain it, and there's talk the European Union may fall apart. Why? Because then they wonder why. They're trying to figure out how we can bring it together, but they don't want to bring God in the center, you understand? So actually, unless you bring God in the center, you can never have unity. So if you want unity in your marriage, you must make God the center. That means following God, following the orders of God. Not in the name of God we gratify our senses. If you make God the center, Isha Vasham Idam Sarvam. If you make God the center by strictly following Prabhupada's instructions, sex life is only for procreation once in a month, and that's it, other than brahmachari, otherwise brahmachari. You may say, but Sankarshan Prabhu, it's so hard. Someone may, I don't know if you all would say, but many people will say, oh, you're too strict. But I'm not strict, it's Prabhupada. I'm not the bad guy who's saying, Prabhupada's the one. He's not really bad, but it's a point. Prabhupada's the one who's the heavy. I'm just repeating what the heavy said. That's his standard. But you know, I was, when I was a young brahmachari, I remember there was one householder couple, disciples of Prabhupada, in our Miami temple. And one morning, they came up, and the husband was telling me, he said, you know, They were following the rules strictly, you know, 50 rounds of japa once in a month, and that's it, otherwise celibacy. So he came up to me and he said, you know, last night my wife and I, we both chanted 50 rounds. We wanted to try to have a child. But after chanting 50 rounds, we felt so Krishna conscious. We said, let's wait till next month to try to have a child. You see? That's called higher taste. Vishaya vinivarshante nirahara shidehina rashavarshang nishopyashya parang vishmanivaritate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. So, like I said, this process works if you work the process. If you will learn how to take shelter of Krishna's holy name, the sense gratification will pale into insignificance compared to the sweet bhakti ras you get from Krishna's name for serving Krishna as husband and wife together serving Krishna. They say, well, we have to have sex so we can we feel we love each other. That's a stupid idea. If you really love someone, you will do what is favorable for their deliverance from the cycle of birth and death. You won't keep them entangled in karma chakra by violating the principles of religion. So you can show your wife you love her by following the principles strictly. And the wife can show the husband she loves him by following the principles strictly. And in this way, your household life will not be in this material world. Your household life will be in the spiritual sky. That's a fact. All it takes is a little bit of self-discipline. And you'll be amazed at how happy you will be if you follow these principles strictly. You'll be amazed. It's going around ISKCON now, this idea that it's not practical. You know, ideally it's the standard, but you know, everybody knows it's not practical. I'm really preaching against this because I know it's practical because I've been doing it for, how long have you been married? 25 years? Something, 84 I think, yeah. So that's almost 30 years. Wait, 84? 84 to 2004 was 20 years. 27 years, yeah. It's practical. I was not a great austere person, and I was an average Joe from the U.S. You know, it's practical. The system works. If you follow Prabhupada's orders, you won't be living in this material world. Any other questions? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, how actually realizations come by the mercy of Krishna. They're already there within you, and as you cleanse your heart of all of the anarthas, the realizations naturally manifest because they're already there. They just have to be uncovered. It's like a buried treasure within your heart. How to identify actual realization from not an actual one. It has to all be confirmed in Prabhupada's books. And that's how. We become mechanical in serving Krishna in day-to-day life. How to keep the spirit of seeing Krishna properly. You have to remember he's a person. That's the key. How a working person can balance between regulated practice of Krishna consciousness and the job. Chant 16 rounds and then go to work with great enthusiasm. Vidyam cha vidyam yastad vedo bhyam saha avidyayam nidam ditva, something, I forget the last one. Krishna's, it's, Isha Upanishad says that one must cultivate nescience and transcendence side by side in order to transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and attain the blessings of the blessing of immortality. Vidyam cha vidyam. So both your ordinary work in the material society, you can say it's a vidya, and this bhakti is vidya. So they recommend, Isha Upanishad recommend, do both side by side. A train runs on two tracks. So for livelihood, to maintain body and soul together, you require income. So you dovetail it in Krishna's service. I'm teaching, something to engineering students. I'm teaching
mathematics.
What is it? Mathematics? I'm teaching mathematics to engineering students. So I feel guilty of teaching them avidya, and I myself feel day after day, and feel dry after teaching. So how to connect this profession to Krishna and the member of the Lord always? How do you spend the money? That's the key. Every rupee must be spent for Krishna, not one paisa for Maya. That's the key. That means, like I said, your home is Krishna's property. And you make your home an ashram. So you're maintaining an ashram by your income, and you're maintaining ISKCON and the ISKCON preachers by your donations. You have to use all that money for Krishna. Because frankly speaking, you're not able to glorify Krishna. Sometimes they try to do that and they lose their positions in the university by trying to, and they get in trouble and they lose their position. So what can you do? You have to offer the result to Krishna. Yad karoshi yadashnashi yad jahobisi nidasiya. Whatever you do, whatever you offer, whatever you eat, whatever you sacrifice or give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, such as teaching mechanics to engineering students. That's an austerity. So do it as an offering to Krishna by spending the money for him. What is your advice for young householders with children? You need to engage those children. You have to do bhakti always. And have the children do it along with you. That's the key. When you sit down to hear a class, you train that child to sit down and hear the class with you. Just like last night, there were some boys, they were sitting there listening, you see. You have to teach the children to sit down and hear with you, because their brains are 10 times more receptive than your brains. If you train them to hear all the lectures, they will become highly learned Vedantists at a very young age. Don't let them run around and hooting and hollering during the lectures. Taking care of children takes a lot of time. Yes, it takes 24 hours a day. That is the purification for engaging in sex life, which is sense gratification. You have to work hard to constantly, you must work hard to raise those children in Krishna consciousness. Can you share some of your experiences with His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami? I'll give one. I was with him on the traveling road show. Prabhupada very much liked it. We had a rock opera, the story of a hippie who became a devotee, and we performed it at various venues, universities, a big auditorium in Pittsburgh, where Prabhupada came and actually saw it, and he liked it. We had one song, and there was one song in the rock opera, one act in the drama where he had a vision of Vrindavan, and the Brijabasis were there, and Krishna was there. And so there was a song that we sang during that act. I'm glad you've come on. The Bridge of Vasa is singing the song to the hippie boy Ringu. Glad you've come our way into Vrindavan. Sadness can't remain here in Vrindavan, where all the trees, the fruits, and the flowers sing of Krishna's fame. Something like that. So, we took off some time before our big concert at the Syria Mosque, where Prabhupada was going to be there. If we really wanted to do a good job, as Prabhupada was going to see it, you know, we really had to practice our drama, you know. So we went up to New Vrindavan, to one of the remote farms there. It was called Madhuban. Mm-hmm. And we used to rehearse out in the cornfield all week long. But then on Sunday, the main farm was called Bahulaban. That's where all the devotees were. So once a week, we would go down to Bahulaban for the Sunday feast. Big event, you know, everybody puts on their best dhotis. And it's like the Sunday go-to-meeting crowd, you know. On Sunday, everyone would go down to Bahulaban for the big transcendental shindig, the Sunday feast. So we were in our bus, and Vishnujana Swami, he was driving the bus. Even though he's the lead of the sannyasi, he was driving the bus. He relished driving the bus. And as we were driving through New Vrindavan, Prabhupada said it was non-different from Vrindavan, he told us then. So he's driving along, he's singing it. Glad you've come our way into Vrindavan. Sadness can't remain here in Vrindavan. It was so sweet. He was just singing in ecstasy, singing this song. We were all the happy passengers as he was driving us to Vrindavan. He made everything very festive and wonderful. He was a very amazing, amazing person, Vishnujana Swami. Prabhupada told me, he said, you have been trained up under the expert guidance of His Holiness Vishnujana Swami. So, I wanted to end it pretty soon, but we had to get up early in the morning. How you came to Krishna consciousness? That's too long of a story to tell. Huh?
These are the questions they have to come to the other programs where you have repeatedly said.
Louder, please.
Krishna consciousness is better to
I came, well, I'll just make it simple. I came by the mercy of Krishna, Prabhupada's disciples. That's an easy answer. By the virtue of Bhakti Madhurya Govinda Maharaj, who was the first one that preached to me, by the mercy of Vishnujana Swami, especially those two devotees, by their mercy, Prabhupada's mercy coming through them. Please describe the initial days of ISKCON. So it's another long one.
What is the question?
They were very sweet because everything was Prabhupada conscious. I mean, it's like, the latest, what's the latest thing that Prabhupada just did? The latest thing that Prabhupada, because his pastimes were happening on the globe, you know. There was no internet then. Telephones are very expensive, so it was usually you just write letters, you know. Send a letter out, type it up, type a letter on a typewriter, old-fashioned stuff, and put it in the mail, you know. This is what send letters would go around to all the centers. It was very, our devotees would be there and they would give their verbal accounts. It was always, what is the latest thing that Prabhupada said? You know, that was the big thing. If a letter came from Prabhupada to any devotee in the temple, it didn't matter. We would just open it and everybody would read the letter. We'd all get together, everything. Prabhupada letter has just come. It was the big thing. Oh, wow, a Prabhupada letter. And everything would stop and everybody would sit down and read the letter. It was very sweet times. You have had training right from the beginning, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha. What if one has come Krishna right at the beginning of marriage? How to adopt the ideal style you were talking about? 16 rounds in the morning, follow the principles, go to the temple as much as possible. And this way you'll be successful. Being grihasthas, there are always ups and downs in life which affect Krishna conscious life. How to remain always enthusiastic in spite of obstacles? Understand it is your duty that you must always remain enthusiastic no matter the good, the bad times, you must always be enthusiastic for Krishna consciousness, even if you don't feel like it sometimes. Maintain it, and gradually you will develop a steady consciousness where nothing will disturb you. You just always remain steady. Okay.
That's already answered.
That's it. Yeah, we kind of wanted to end it early because I'm getting up at 2:30 in the morning and another day of preaching. Everybody's coming for my lecture tomorrow at the temple? Oh, Sunday feast lecture. Okay, good. Now, I was so happy to meet you all. And I made a commitment to my wife because last night we didn't get to bed till 11 o'clock and then we had to get up at 2:30 and that's, you know, what's that? 3.5 hours of sleep. You know, so we have, you know, so I made a commitment tonight we would stop at 8:30 so we can, you know, have enough rest so tomorrow we can do some nice service. So we'll stop here then. And we thank you so much for your being Krishna conscious and being a part of this movement. And kindly stick to this pathway with enthusiasm, determination, and patience. If you do so, you will experience the most extraordinary, sublime life beyond even the happiness of the demigods and the heavenly planets. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Express Sriman Sankarsana Das Adhikari ki.